I don't claim to do any sort of magic. I'm just, I just have a lot of alone time.
Hi, I'm on the prowl indeed. Welcome to Podcats. This is Cats John Katsalamidis of the Las Vegas Review Journal. My column is called Cats. Fittingly enough, find it on page 3A every day and online all the time. Our guest this week is the only two-time champion of America's Got Talent, and he is a Las Vegas resident headliner at the Mirage and Terry Fater Theatre. He's the great sleight-of-hand artist Shin Lim, and he's just been extended through next June with his co-star Colin Cloud. Shin Lim.
Hey, man, how's it going?
How you doing, sir?
Good. How's
it? Strip resident headliner, Shin Lim. I'm walking in here, and I see posters of you, and you're on the marquee and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
It's
congratulations,
crazy. I mean, like, I remember last year when you were doing the interview, it was just like none of that was up and stuff, so.
It was kind of like a... out there, though. What I'm thinking of the conversation was when we were in the Paris Theater and you were getting ready to be with the AGT All-Star show, and there was this talk kind of vaguely of you doing this. And here we are.
Yeah, I know. It's one
it was
year later.
A year ago.
It's crazy.
Uh-huh.
It's so crazy to think that. A lot has happened, I guess. So,
how's it changed you at all?
I mean, I'm moving here. So now I'm going to relocate from LA. I'm not sure where I'm going to live, but somewhere close by, probably the Strip.
Yeah. What does it feel like to be a kind of a Las Vegas, not only resident headliner, but an actual resident?
Dream come true, obviously. Yeah. I mean, when you kind of grow up and you see all your idols like Copperfield and even like Criss Angel and like these all these other magicians you've seen online and stuff like that, you know, they have these residencies. So it's just one of these like things as a magician that's kind of like your goal, like like your ultimate goal. So the fact that it's happening is pretty
serious. We've talked about this before, and I've talked to other magicians about this, about Las Vegas's place in the magic culture. Now that you've worked here a little bit, how do you explain it?
I think
currently?
we're still trying to get the hang of it in terms of like advertising and stuff like that. There's so many other things that kind of go into it that I was very unfamiliar with. Like, you know, all I knew when it kind of starting out was just magic, and that's all I knew. it's cool, like trying to figure out like how to run a show, like so many different things about putting on a show that I had no idea about before.
Are you being involved in the marketing of yourself more?
What's
that like?
Interesting. It's hard work. It's a lot of work, actually.
You beat the pavement, don't you?
Yeah. Kind of like let people know, hey, I'm here and come watch a show. So it's a different thing, because usually back then all I was focusing on was just the craft and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now
I've talked to a lot of performers in Las Vegas who aren't quite at this particular scale on the Strip, but they the thing is that they've told me over the course of time, you have to know how to do everything. Including advertising, marketing, PR. You have to have an understanding of all that.
Yeah.
So are you learning the other parts right now still?
Learning and like trying to get better at it, I guess, because I was pretty unfamiliar with it. But like also like YouTube and like all social media stuff like that, also like trying to gain like notoriety on that as well, because that always helps as well.
I would think that you would have pretty pretty high name recognition, face recognition
still trying to keep going.
Not enough people watch TV. I think that's the problem.
it's a weird thing. It's a weird shift right now that's happening with TV and social media. It's kind of interesting to see all that happen, because like I grew up with TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now to see it kind of like change, it's changing quite a lot. So
you're a YouTube
practitioner. I go on YouTube.
It's great for magic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, media is great for magic, especially visual magic, like kind of the like stuff I do. It's easier than like, let's say illusions, for example. If you're putting out an illusion on TV or even on YouTube, it's harder to appreciate, because of when you have something such large scale put on a tiny little screen, all of a sudden people don't appreciate it as much as when you're watching in a live show. So that's a really interesting...
I don't know if this is common with everybody, but I become kind of skeptical when I see magic on video.
Mm. Everyone does, I think.
I think that's a characteristic. Yeah. When I see you do something, like I'd seen you do America's Got Talent, but when we sat together at the Paris and you did your thing, I still get chills. Like, wow. I mean, when you're in front of somebody personally, I think
it's different. It's a whole other experience. And that's another reason why I think maybe nowadays magic on TV doesn't actually really work, especially when it's like a pre-record, right? Mm-hmm. I think AGT works because it's live. Mm-hmm. So you really can't, and you're in front of judges, you're in front of Simon Cowell, like there's no way you can try to cheat it or anything.
That's real time, it's really real time. Unedited
AGT,
right?
Oh yeah, completely, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no chance for you to pre-record. There, you can't mm-hmm. pre-record, it's live. So when you're watching, like, let's say Street Magician, right, he has a TV special, and he puts a TV special, 10 years ago it was great, it was working, but I think these days it just doesn't have the same oomph that it used to back in the day, because people nowadays, just, we understand, like you said, you're skeptical. We know about mm-hmm. pre-record. We know about editing. We know about camera effects. And so people just don't really believe it as much.
Yeah, anymore. We've been exposed to a lot of magic, but also a lot of technology.
Exactly.
Las Vegas especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we see, hologram figures. We see people.
Michael Jackson's show, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I saw that recently. I was reminded of that technology. And we're used to the unreal and surreal in this city quite a bit. So to impress a Las Vegas audience, you've really got to be special.
Well, I think that's why, that's why watching it live now is better than ever, because we watch it so much on the screen these days, the only way to actually experience true magic or true whatever is to watch it live.
Your specialty remains a close-up cards,
still close-up cards. Mm-hmm. Even for the show right now, it's still close-up cards. We're still making changes and stuff like that, the theater still isn't, it's Terry Fader's at the moment still,
right.
so mm-hmm. I still have to kind of go around all those props.
Have to work around the puppets.
Got
to
work around everything, man. But
you should have one of them be your assistant.
That'd be funny.
Get Barry Fabulous out there and saw him in half. I think that'd be a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
How did you arrive at this particular venue? Because there's a lot of rooms in Las Vegas. And there's a lot of different magic venues.
There's quite a lot of seats, actually. It's 1,300 seats in this theater.
Big place.
So we're sitting right now at the very back end. But still, yet it actually feels somewhat close to the front, which I think is quite unique. So I really like that characteristic of the theater. Also, red. I like the color red, and the whole theater is dressed in red.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why red?
It's my favorite color.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really like the people at MGM. They were really nice to me.
Yeah.
And they're really supportive and everything. So I just found it really welcomed to the family. Which is another reason why I decided to choose.
Within MGM, did they look at other venues inside the their company?
They showed me this one, and then I was like, yeah, I like it.
One and done.
Yeah.
That's how you're house shopping, right?
Oh, I go with my gut all the time, man. All the time.
I've seen that you visited other magic shows. You got to know
totally.
Hans Klok.
Yeah, that show. I really like that show.
Yeah,
it's a great show.
With the Excalibur.
So much energy.
Mm-hmm.
So much energy. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to play that room, for example, because his is illusions, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And with illusions, it's good that you're lower and the stage is higher.
Mm-hmm.
So for this, as you can tell, we're way high up.
Yeah,
and on the top of the stage.
I've actually never been in this position in this theater. We're sitting at the back of the theater right now and looking far down. I've never been up here.
Yeah, which surprisingly isn't a bad view for the show, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously front row seats are great, but
you take it off the video panels.
Mm-hmm, yeah, totally.
Okay.
And then there's a bigger screen. The curtain's not open right now.
But you're dedicated to this version of magic entirely,
totally.
Right?
I mean, let's just hypothetically say if I had more control over this room in the future, or if I could not have to walk around props, then I would definitely have way bigger scale stuff. Yeah, I have a lot. I have a lot in my mind right now. It's just I can't do any of it because I can't touch.
Like
props.
A big crane, like giant saws.
Sure. No saws, no
strobes,
boxes. No boxes, no saws,
and but pyro.
Maybe some pyro. But,
I want to see Shinlin with some pyro.
More
and
theatrical
cards.
Things, and I want it to be more of like an atmospheric experience rather than like, oh, here's a magic trick that will fool you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be like something magical rather than a fooling trick. That's kind of what I have in mind. But so far, I can't do any of that right now. But
it's interesting having, and maybe you agree with this too, having seen so much magic. I'm drawn to the more organic versions. You know, I feel like after a while, you can look at a show and say, okay, that's something that you could maybe purchase or somebody's created elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take
and you and I have the same exact thoughts about magic. I prefer organic too. Yeah, uh-huh. Totally. I hate boxes, anything with a box or anything like that.
That was your line the last time I did. No boxes.
I just can't do any of that. I want it to feel raw as well, like it unfiltered almost. Like I feel like sometimes maybe a lot of shows have this kind of like pizzazzle. Mm-hmm. And I like me and Colin have the exact same view on it. We made sure that it has none of that in the show. And we really want it to be as honest as possible. Even though it's a magic show, which is strange because magic's mm-hmm. all about lying and deception. We want it to be as honest as possible. At the
professional
same time.
Liar.
Yeah.
Professional deceiver.
This episode of Podcats will be right back. We'll get back to the interview in exactly 20 seconds. I'd like to use those 20 seconds to once again say thanks for listening and ask for a quick favor. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you like what you're hearing, please leave us a rating and review. If you want to support the show, that's the best way to do it. Your reviews go a long way to help Podcats reach new listeners. Now back to the show.
I was going to ask about Colin Cloud, mm-hmm. your co-star.
Co-star,
I guess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
How did that develop? He's what mm-hmm. we know as a forensic mentalist.
Yeah, so he's
which I think really... is he's mental with dead bodies, but that's not it.
No, he's just a really smart guy. I mean, he went to university at age 15, and he studied.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, I didn't know he that. Studied to become a criminal investigator. And criminal psychologists and stuff like that. So he really enjoyed like that Sherlock Holmes type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met him actually 9 years ago in London. We were doing a convention together, but I didn't really know him that well. I followed all of his work. I've always followed him since I started magic. He had, you know, magicians teach each other stuff online and stuff. So I had always learned all of his material. We then went on tour in New Zealand together. That's when I really got to know like what he was doing. But the entire time, I still had no idea how he did any of his tricks, and we were touring for 3 months straight, and I still had no idea. And it was funny because then he later told me that while we were touring for 3 months, he also had no idea how I was doing it. So we were actually, turns out, like we were both huge fans of each other,
mm-hmm.
and just didn't really know about it.
And his, I guess, maybe the common thread is that what he does is sort of a natural way of determining how what you're thinking by your behavior. Which is not really claiming to be psychic, or
he doesn't claim anything,
or touched by some spirit.
No, he doesn't. He claims what he's doing is just simply observing. Same way with me. I don't claim to do any sort of magic. I'm just I just have a lot of alone time, and I just practice with playing cards. And
you ask yourself to pick a card.
Yeah, and it just happened to look like magic.
You guys, I hope you guys don't turn to a life of crime. We're not in a safe place. But let's roll back to the decision. Well, let's talk about the decision of when you asked mm-hmm. Colin to be in the show.
Yeah.
How did that work? Because a guy like him, he could have his career independently.
And he does in London. So, so we were doing Broadway together, actually. We were performing with The Illusionists. I'm sure you know that touring company. And I don't know. I think there was just something, you know, there were four other performers. But it just felt like me and him almost had the same type of vibe compared to all the other artists. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying talking down at all. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. All of them were amazing. It's just that I feel like the character that we were trying to play were almost the same. We felt like we were almost like trying to say the same thing about magic. We're trying to put the same point across. And so I asked him in Broadway, I was like, hey man, like if I ever like get a show, because I had one AGT at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if I ever do get a chance to have a show, I would love to possibly have you perform with me, or if you don't have enough time, maybe be a special guest or whatever, like anything. And he was like, yeah, totally, like I'm currently like contractually obliged to a couple of things, but in the future, sure.
That was before you had announced, mm-hmm. and but we're in talks about this.
We were actually in talks about this
about
theater already
now, yeah, and won one,
and I still didn't even know about Colin at the point. Colin was a last minute type of thing.
Wow.
Yeah uh-huh. He came in like right timing, so yeah, it was good.
And he does 20 minutes.
He does 20 minutes of like actual mind reading. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of like comedy and stuff. Like, he's really funny. So total like person time, 30 minutes. It depends. It always ranges because it depends on the spectators. We don't know. We can't control the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they take longer. Sometimes they laugh too much and then like we can't get them to stop, or they're doing something ridiculous on stage. So it always ranges. So our showtime actually kind of ranges. It's 10 minutes. It ranges from either a 90 minute show, or it can be longer than that or shorter than that. So,
how was it? Okay.
Yeah.
How was it to return to AGT
mm-hmm.
and win that competition? Because you're the only two-time mm-hmm. champion
so far,
ever
yeah.
in the history of the show
yeah.
at this moment.
Yeah.
They'll have another one.
I'm sure.
But right now, you're the only one who's mm-hmm. won it twice. Can you explain how you approach the second tour of duty with the AGT and what separated you from the field? Maybe
obsession, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. An obsession to have that adrenaline of competition. I don't know. Maybe I like it. I've always competed ever since I was a kid. I competed swimming, and then I competed piano when I was a pianist. And then magic. I went to plenty of magic competitions. So when they told me about Champions, I was like, oh, wow, it's such a... I took it as an opportunity for me. It wasn't more of like, I want to win. I want to do this. Like, I was, oh, well, yeah, obviously I want to win. But but when they said, hey, you want to be a part of this thing? I was like, okay, this is cool. I want to try this. And it's a competition against the best of the best. So this should be fun.
Magic is pretty competitive itself, isn't it?
It is.
The field of magic.
It is.
Magic.
I mean, it's such a small community. Uh-huh. So, you know, magicians will naturally always be competitive.
Yeah, I think people don't realize that behind the scenes how much passion, competitive passion there is with performing magicians.
Yeah, there can be a lot of that going around, like jealousy and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. It's prevalent in Las Vegas, frankly, with so many. We got, you know, we've talked about more than 20 magicians who are headliners here in Las Vegas.
Right.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It is a lot.
It's just a lot of one thing.
Oh, 20. That's crazy.
I had to go back and count it, but wow. I was surprised. But when you start looking at, if you count who are mentalists, who have magic in their shows.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That 20. Is a lot.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Let's talk about the future here. You're signed through June, and I know one thing about, and this is on the business side of things, that often companies are looking for the next current inhabitant of their venue, you know, looking down the line. I know that Terry's been in here for 11 years now.
Yes.
And he's just had to trim his band and do some changes to his show to maintain his viability in here.
Okay.
What do you think about a long term arrangement here? And
for me, I would be honored. You know, I mean, I'm 28, so like, what 28-year-old will get this chance to ever do that?
You wouldn't mind just putting a stake down, whether it's here or anywhere, and just being
anywhere? Yeah, I mean, like, I'm so lucky. If I ever got that opportunity, you know, I would do it absolutely.
And you just got married.
Yeah, yeah, I have a wife.
How's that going?
Good. I mean, it's the same. Like, we were always living together, even before marriage. Like, we just kind of, I don't know why that happened, but ever since we started dating, we were just living with each other. So married life was never.
Swapping.
Yeah, it's just the same. Like, we were always living. So
I can't remember what's her
Casey.
Yeah. She did the video.
She's directing all the video, actually. So all this video stuff that you see is her. Yeah.
Didn't you propose to her on stage? How that worked?
Yeah, well, so we met in Macau and at a show, actually. You know, Franz Ferrari, I don't know if you know him. He's a big, big scale illusionist in Asia.
Franz Ferrari?
Franz Ferrari.
Oh, Ferrari.
Yeah, he's
like Franz Ferrari.
Ferrari. He does
maybe
make a Ferrari appear,
maybe that's
actually.
That's my stage name.
he's LA based. You know, he lives in LA, but he travels to Asia a lot and does like massive scale illusions, like massive, massive. You thought David Copperfield was big. This guy like does huge stuff. And so she's actually a dancer of Franz's. And so we met like mutually, and then she came to one of my shows, and then I went to her show. And so that's how we met.
You took his stage assistant.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, he's always like, I'm responsible for your marriage together, blah, blah, blah. He came to our wedding and he was like,
oh, really?
I'm the reason why you guys are together.
Well, I guess he kind of is, right?
Yeah, he treats her kind of like, I think, his daughter or something like that. That he never had, maybe.
I haven't known that name. He's probably the one magician. Who hasn't played.
He's big in Asia. He's really big in Asia, yeah.
Are you still going to be able to tour yourself?
Well, we are doing tours, but I think we're being very selective because playing in Vegas is such an amazing opportunity. We don't really want to give it up. And so we don't want to kind of like destroy it with, oh, sorry, I can't do these dates. I have to go on tour and stuff like that. Yeah. So.
But when you're on tour, you can obviously promote the show.
Totally.
Is it the same show?
No, it's not as good. I don't know if that's the best
way.
I don't know if that's the best way.
The road version isn't as good.
I mean, well, it's not as good. It's just we're not doing as many things. Like in Vegas, because it's the same theater, because the crew are all the same, we're able to do more difficult things tech-wise because everyone's so familiar with the show.
Yeah, right. Does Colin go with you?
Yep.
On the road
also? Yeah.
You guys are a regular team, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
it's
kind
of. Did you
kind of just did it together? Like, yeah. All of a sudden.
The name of the show is as
Limitless.
Limitless.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
So it doesn't have a specific name in the title, even though you're the guy.
Yeah, I mean, Limitless that's it. Limitless, the
but
magic
I'm thinking,
show.
You know, would you eventually be a Siegfried and Roy like, or Penn and Teller?
I mean, yeah, Limitless by Colin Cloud and shit.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah. I mean, we can change it eventually.
Because we've had, as you know, obviously, including this hotel, tandems who became legends, you know, in Las Vegas.
Yeah. It's
and
true.
The way you guys got together was natural. Yeah. I want to ask you about your hands and piano.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big part of your story.
Yes.
When you went to AGT the first time and they showed you playing and explained how you couldn't. How are you right now? It's good. You suffered from
it's
carpal tunnel
good.
Syndrome is the thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's getting better. It's just, it sucks that I can't do like the moves that I want to do because sleight of hand, you kind of always want to bring it to the limit, I guess. Mm-hmm. Hence the title, Limitless.
Mm-hmm.
and with me, I'm obsessed with magic. You know, I love not just magic. Sorry, sleight of hand, just like specifically that. Just really difficult moves. And so, you know, carpal tunnel, it really limits you in the sense of what you can accomplish and stuff like that. So in that sense, it is frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it does frustrate me sometimes when I just can't do a move. And then sometimes I see, you know, I have younger magicians working on the show and they're doing like ridiculously difficult moves.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And I'm just watching there, sitting there. I'm just like, I want to learn that, but I know I can't.
Those
so,
darn kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So in a sense, it does suck. But I think I try to look at it from a more positive light. And so for me, I always just find a different direction of how I can accomplish the same effect, but maybe not having to do that difficult move that I can't perform or practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing, something you have
yeah,
to adjust.
Yeah. It's something that I always have to adjust. I always have to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
There's, oh, no, sorry, Shen, you can't do this. Now you have to try doing this instead. Yeah.
All right.
It sucks.
Well, as we wrap it up here, Shin, let's get the nights that you're on, you and Colin are on stage here.
That's right. So we're performing to mid-November, and then we have some dates in December, and then all of 2020, we have dates run up till June, I believe.
And it's three nights a week?
Yeah, something like that. It's usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then it'll change it up.
Go to the internet, folks, or read the Cats column for all the to fill in all those blanks. But it's good to talk to you, sir.
No, thank you.
It's great to see your success, and I'm sure we'll do this again.
Absolutely. No, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks once more to Shin Lim for joining us on Podcats. We'll be back next Monday and every Monday, so make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. What is happening in the column, you might be asking yourselves? Well, read about the closing of Chaos Nightclub and Day Club at the Palms. After 7 months, it's everybody out of the pool. Lady Gaga canceled Wednesday's show because of bronchitis and sinus issues. It was her first canceled show at Park Theater at Park MGM, but I still managed to make it to the post-show show with Brian Newman at Nomad Restaurant, where we saw a lot of local performers. John Fogerty is back at Encore Theater. Read my interview with him as he recalls the original Woodstock performance and also his performance at Bethel in New York on Woodstock's 50th anniversary in September. Florida Georgia Line is back at Zappos Theater for its mini residency, and I'm going to be attending the final Donnie and Marie show at Flamingo Las Vegas on November 16th, and that is going to be packed. All that and more in Cats. That closes out another episode of Podcats. Thank you, Frankie Moreno, for our theme song, The Biggest Cat in Town. Keep up with me, or try to, on the Review Journal website, or at Johnny Katz on Twitter, at JohnnyKatz1 on Instagram, and tune in next Monday to the next installment of Podcats. And I'm the biggest cat in town.